Hey guys, it's your girl Mandy B, and I'm super excited to be throwing an event next month. It is a girls' night out, and we are doing it up at Paint and Pour. That's right, Paint and Pour in Harlem. We are going to paint maybe some dicks, and we're going to pour it up, because it's open bar. Super excited to see all of you guys there. It'll be a night of fun, jokes, laughter, and of course, sex. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about dating. We're going to talk about relationships. And I'm super excited to also announce that I'll be joined alongside author of The M and Man Is For Money, Passport Cuddy. So if you guys have ever wanted to ask us maybe how to get a sugar daddy, how to join in on a threesome, any type of questions that you think you may have had, we are going to do it over some drinks in a bomb venue, listening to some dope ass music, and again, painting, maybe some dicks. So if you guys are interested, please go ahead and follow my Instagram at FullCourtPumps, and also follow at PaintAndPourNYC to keep up on when we will be posting tickets. Hope to see you guys there.
Hey, everybody. I wanted to let you guys know this is Wheezy, and I'm going to be doing Gotham Podcast Studio's first annual seminar. It's going to be coming up on September 15th from 2 to 5. If you guys have ever thought about doing a podcast, or you have a podcast and you need some tips on how to jump your shit off, I'm going to be discussing the horrible decisions journey, some of the pitfalls and the highs we've experienced as we are growing our show. I'm also going to be doing some Q&A, so if you have questions, come by, make sure to get your ticket. They're going to have something very in-depth where they personalize like workshops and like a book just for your pod. Follow me on IG to see when tickets go on sale at WeezyWTF. Enjoy the show.
Yes. And I also want to go ahead, and before we start, if we could go ahead and give a super huge shout out to all of our patrons. We want to thank you guys so much for our support. If you do not know, or if, say, you've listened to all of our episodes and you want more, we drop 2 bonus episodes per month on our Patreon account. So go ahead, support the show, become patrons. You could find that at patreon.com/horrible decisions. We also post a lot of the stuff on our Instagram, so go ahead and keep up with us as well on our Instagram at @horrible_decisions. Now let's get on with the show. Hey guys, we're back yet again, and we got some wonderful guests in the show. Welcome to Horrible Decisions, guys. This is your girl Mandy B.
I'm Wheezy, and we have our resident gay in the studio. You know, we've been having some other gays, and I was like low-key kind of feeling a little bad, like I cheated.
You know what? Thank you. I'm glad that you feel that way. But I, you know, I hold nothing to that. I am the resident gay. You know that, and I know that, so we are square. Happy to be back. Hey, Asante. Bussy badass in the building.
Yes. Oh, and before y'all, you know, you heteros get, oh, why they gonna have another gay nigga again? Hold on. We got another bitch on the mic.
We do, you know, we do have another female in the building, and we've had her on the show before. And it's so funny because y'all just refer to her as the unicorn, episode 17. But we got Dove in the motherfucking building from Denver, all the way from motherfucking Denver. Hello, holla.
I'm that bitch, and I'm back. What's up?
Dubs of Denver.
So, Dub, your original episode was number 17, and you helped a bunch of couples understand being a unicorn, how to have threesomes.
People are still asking about you.
It's so weird because people are just, every week someone's like, how do I get a threesome? How do I do this? I'm like, episode 17, nigga, back up. But can you kind of tell people what your new projects you have going on?
And oh my God, I knew he was going to do that.
No, you have to. You
at the time, you didn't have your own podcast. You have a podcast too?
I do have a podcast with my son, JJ. He goes by JJ. And girl, I don't forgot the name of my son's podcast.
It's called Youngin.
Youngin.
Sorry, y'all. We was passing the blunt before the episode, so I need y'all to know that.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, if there's a fog, it's not your screen.
It's not the camera, y'all. We kind of smoked out the goddamn room before the show.
Bitch, I forgot my name. I almost said, and this is Mandy
V3.
All I know is I ain't did nothing.
Hashtag I don't know nothing. Shout out to Wax.
So you have Youngish with your son.
I have a podcast named Youngish, and we're coming back. We're actually going to see Beyonce in Houston, and we're going to jump our new season off after that happens.
That's lit.
So, yes. Every Monday we come out. We're on SoundCloud and iTunes, all that good shit.
Okay, but what else you got going on?
Bitch.
Go ahead and let them know.
I'm putting out a project called Hoe Season.
Yes, Hoe Season.
It's about the summertime, using that time to be your best hoe that you could possibly be. And it's not about these niggas. It's about you and just being whatever a hoe means to you. You do that shit and you love it and you are that bitch.
What about all the other three seasons?
I mean, bitches be hibernation. I be like conserving all my whole energy.
I mean, there's cuffing season, so we got
a
whole season.
Me, though. You know what I'm saying?
Whole season, have... cuffing season. What other seasons we got, y'all?
Like, Dub wasn't, like, I think when we were in Seattle, we went to Seattle a few weekends
y'all
ago.
Y'all had a terrible time.
Fuck that.
Let's not even talk about it. But when we were there, Dub was telling me, like, I haven't had dick, like, in, what was it, a year?
Girl, a year. I went
what?
A year.
And people love, this is what cracks me up. Niggas love to call you a hoe and a slut and this right. and that. No dicks was up in here.
Nothing.
For a year?
I didn't even see a dick. I was barely masturbating. I was barely watching porn. It was bad.
It's crazy. Like, someone's so sexual.
But it wasn't like I didn't want to, but I was busy. A bitch got shit to do. Oh, my whole life.
I'm never too busy to play with my pussy.
Me neither.
Not ever.
I do that shit at work, my nigga. We got a lunch break.
I'm not proud of it. I'm working on it.
So, speaking of new dicks, I want to tell you guys a story really quick. We'll make it fast. But so, if you have ever heard episode one, it is called The Missing Condom. And here we go.
Yes.
So, I went to the Hamptons with this white boy. And I decided he's older. He's in his. Let me not say it.
She had sex with an elder, y'all.
No,
y'all know she wanted one.
Okay, let me just show you him first before we. Before
he has salt and pepper.
How old?
That's what I'm saying. You see, she paused.
I've been thinking.
So I'm gonna show you a picture of him.
I like a little old dick.
Wait, okay, but how old was the dick? Because you really pausing and not letting
anybody
know.
It doesn't matter. I want you guys
established.
Hello, and they be tired, so you're going all night. You're going to bed.
It was. Oh, you know.
Actually, he's cute.
So you just want all of YouTube to take a picture. Goddamn, bro, put the phone
down.
He's
early 50s.
Early 50s.
And very, you know, a nice looking man.
My seasoned age.
It's doable.
So anyway, I want to talk a little bit about, I wasn't going to say this on our show. I was going to wait till I go on Van's show because I thought he knows the name of my podcast and I'm worried he's going to listen, but I'm like, whatever, maybe he won't. So we have sex for the first night time and he was eating my pussy so good that I thought if he's that good ahead, he can't be that good in bed, right? Like, how could you be that good? Something's wrong with your dick. Always. Like, that's how good he went down on me. So I start returning the favor, and I just want to say,
damn, that's
I don't think I've ever had that.
I am very proud of my blowjob skills. It's just something that I'm good at, you know. God didn't bless me with much, but a good
just
head game.
Some head skills.
So I'm sucking his dick, and he's not getting hard. And I thought maybe it's because he's old. And he's like, you know, if you do something for me, I will really get off. Now, when I heard that, I said, okay, he wants me to eat his ass, which, not opposed. So then he said, I really like my nipples touched.
Oh, Lord.
And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, like right here. I was like, okay. So I'm sucking his dick. I put my hands up. The nigga gets so hard. I thought I was going to break a tooth. So I'm now, right, like touching his nipples. So I'm trying to put my hand back on the dick because, right, I like doing my shit. This nigga pulled me right back up to the nipple. And I was like, oh, wow.
I like playing with nipples.
No, bro. Listen to this.
I like
so
it.
So I...
aggressive, though?
You're, wait.
He needs it. His shit's sensitive as fuck.
That's how you do
he's
it.
Like, and then he's like, lighter. So hold on. Then he puts the condom on, and I bend over because I'm ready to get fucked. And he's like, oh, can you turn... like back on your back.
White guys don't like back shots,
hold
girl.
On. Yes, they do. Yes, bro, yes the fuck they do. Bitch, how you gonna know you ain't never fucked a white boy?
I mean, I don't know. I ain't even think they
so
like
hold
that.
On. So I turn around from the back and then he's like, I'll go on your back. I'm like, no, I want it like this. He's like, well, it's just not really, because I can't really have this stimulated if I'm doing that. So I'm like, nigga, you can't fuck me from the back because you can't feel your nipples? So hold on. Now he's fucking me from the front, okay? I'm sitting here going counterclockwise, the other way, left, right, left, trying to fucking use my Kegels, throw this pussy back. I was exhausted, okay? So that was the first time we had sex. Takes me out to dinner. This is Wednesday night. And let me just tell you what happens. We're fucking... everything's going fine. I'm doing my left-right switch thing. I can't even put my hand on my clit because he fucking pulls it off just to touch his nipples. He's ridiculous. So he pulls out, comes on my stomach. And I'm like, this is weird because we were using a condom. So where is it?
Oh, shit. It fell into your pussy.
So I was like, hey.
It fell into your pussy. Hey.
Yo, can we make that the horrible decision?
We gotta make it fell into your pussy.
Everybody on the count of three. And one, and two, and three.
It fell into your pussy. So wait, I need to ask, how many days did it stay in your pussy if you had to wait to come back?
Hold on, my nigga. Hold on.
off.
So wait.
Because did you beat by 2 days?
You beat by 2 days. No, I didn't. So first of all, I didn't know that the first time I peed a condom out, I didn't know it was in my pussy.
The first time
you peed a condom out. Oh, we have all
that was the missing condom. That was my first episode.
Multiple times pussies have.
So I said, hey, listen, can you do me a favor and help me get it out? He's like, of course, absolutely. Very classy guy, right?
You did lose a condom the last time you were here.
Oh, and I was about to help.
Yeah.
Oh, we gotta tell you.
And the way Dove comes back from the doctor, by the way, which is the same doctor we've all been to. She's like, she comes back home. I'm like, what happened? She's like, it wasn't in there.
Oh wait, you thought it probably fell out in the back seat?
No, no, bro. So Dove fucked in my laundry room. So we go back down. The same nigga you fucked last night. Oh, that's your New York dick. God. So Dove fucks in my laundry room. Why did I go back down the stairs in the laundry room to go make sure? She was like, bro, I think it's either in his car or it's here.
Because we were using a condom.
So I go down the stairs in my building. I find her underwear. Do you remember that? I find her underwear on the way down. On my fucking stairs. So I'm like, okay, well, here's investigation piece one. So I go down to the laundry room. Nigga, I'm looking. I was. That's my bitch. The fuck? I'm looking around for the condom. So I run upstairs. I'm like, nah, bro, it's in there. So she's like, oh. Gets up, sitting there in the bathroom talking about, I can't get it.
I was
like,
digging.
What?
I was digging.
I had my friend digging my pussy for a condom before.
I mean, what are friends
for? I mean, what are friends? You gotta just stick your hand up the pussy and feel, because my hands aren't that.
Hold on, bitch. Let me tell you what happened.
It just ain't working.
So what are we gonna call him? We gonna call him Hamptons. So Hamptons goes in his kitchen, in his large Upper East Side apartment, I just want to say, goes to grab his glasses and then goes, okay, here we go. Spreads my legs, trying to get up in there, can't get nothing. So I'm like, you know what? I'm getting anxiety around this. I'll just go to the doctor tomorrow. So I'm at work, and my little work boo comes up to me. He's like, nigga, what's up? I was calling you last night. I was like, don't talk to me. I have a condom in my pussy. I'm stressed out. Dude, I'm so stressed.
Oh, this shit is stressful.
It is.
No, it is. Especially, what if you... That my problem was, I wanted dick again. So I was like, I got to get the condom out before I get more dick.
There you go.
So the problem is, I'm sitting at work, and like, I'm very... I used to have a pelvic floor problem because I was always clenching. So now I'm trying to bear down. I'm trying to squat. I'm taking mad shits, trying to push it out. So I go to the doctor, right? Here's the first thing that happens. I go to the walk-in gyno. By the way, if you live in New York and you need a place to go, it's on 55th and 7th. Walk-in gyno, very affordable, and they take you right away.
Took all of our condoms out of our pussies.
So the girl at the girl at the counter, the receptionist, is like, hey, what's the reason for your visit? And I was like, I have a condom. Stop my bed. And I'm mouthing, and she's like, what? I was like, I have a condom stuck in me. And she's like, oh, okay. Are you Wheezy? The funny part about this is Alex and I were texting, and Alex is like, nigga, you going to this cheap ass spot. Watch somebody know you. So I'm laughing with the girl. I'm like, bro, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I'm already here for the most embarrassing shit. And she's like, don't worry.
She listens to the show.
She's like, we're HIPAA compliant. I'm like, bitch, you not the doctor. What do you mean we're HIPAA compliant? You got my social and my real name. Y'all niggas be asking for this shit all the time. So whatever, I'm in the waiting room. I'm assuming to use my fake celebrity, I'm gonna get to skip the line because there's five people in front of me. So then I'm seeing two people go. I walk up to her. I'm like, bro, like, do you have something stuck in them?
Listen,
because I need to go first.
VIP.
So we get to the doctor, and I
remember, I need to skip the line at the gyno.
Okay,
you know who I am.
All I know is if you're listening to this show, and then your ass want to come up to me at a time in need, then you need to help a GI.
Hello,
thank you.
Bitch, you want a live show ticket? Help. So I get to the doctor, and I'm looking at her, and I remember her specifically. She was very beautiful, middle
aged. She was very pretty.
So she's like, I remember you? And I thought maybe it was my tattoo. I was like, yeah, I was here last time, and it's kind of funny because I have a podcast with my friend, and I said to her, you know, I know a place where you can get a condom out of you, and here we are. And she's like, oh, wow, how long ago is that? Like, I said, it's a year ago. She's like, I totally remember. I'm like, it's the name of our first episode. She's like, well, now you have your turn. The bitch puts me on my back, and I'm so nervous. I'm laying down. She's like, you see it? She's like, it's just very far away. She goes out of the room, comes back with a long pair of tweezers. Ugh. And she's like, count to 10. I'm like, nigga. I was freaking out.
That's so traumatized.
So she takes it out, throws it in the trash can, and I say, excuse me, can I see it? I just need to make sure a condom came out of me. Like, I need to see it. I need to make sure it wasn't ripped. I need to make sure there aren't pieces stuck in me. And she's like, what a smart girl. And you know what? Can I just say, don't be ashamed, because I do regular paps and just pull random tampons and condoms out all the time.
Oh my God, that's so
gross. Anyway, there's part two of missing condom.
Jesus. Well, I mean, well, and you've had a disappearing condom. I've had a missing condom. I think, you know, at least we have, we got condoms out. Right. Safe sex, guys. Safe sex.
At least we got condoms.
At least we have condoms. So
sisterhood of the stuck condoms.
Oh, there we go. So normally we do icebreakers, but since both of y'all have already been on the show, we're going to go ahead and have our vanilla shit conversation. So the vanilla shit that we kind of want to discuss, and I'm super glad that we have you here to discuss this, is the child support motherfucking shit. So if you guys are on Twitter, if you guys are active within Black Twitter, it's been a discussion because good old Blake Griffin, who is Black some parts, yeah. Black, I think. He's anyway, Black, Blackity Blake ass Griffin is paying $258,000 a month in child support based on his gross income.
For two children.
Yes.
To his white baby mama. Not saying it matters, just wanted to throw
his
that
ex-wife,
in.
I think that's his ex-wife, though.
Isn't it like 9% of his...
So it's 9% of his income. Someone did the math. And so basically he's only paying 9%.
Because someone did the math.
Someone did the math. I think he makes like 2 something million a month. Because he signed to like, I don't know, $12 million a year.
$173 million over 5 years.
Over 5 years. So
he's only giving $3 million a year on like 30-something million. So let's not act like it's too much.
I mean,
okay?
Yeah, it's 9%. It's not, but a lot of people's complaint is, especially from men that I've been reading, is that it don't take that much to raise a kid. And so,
well, it takes $223,000 for this lifespan of a child.
Of
by
a
the
child,
way.
Eight, from 0 to 18.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So one month.
I do want to say though, I don't want to have the conversation about them coins that we don't see in our accounts, but I do want to bring this down to a conversation about child support, which y'all regular niggas. I don't know why y'all think we want to have babies for your regular ass money.
Regular
that's
ass.
Very important.
But it's very important because I want to talk to our audience, the women who listen to our show, who got regular ass, broke ass baby daddies.
Yes.
And also even just the men who listen to the show who may be on child support, who's not making Blake Griffin.
And by
money.
The way, right. Me and Mandy were going back and forth with who to discuss this with because we're having Rory on a later episode and she's like, we need a dude to talk about this. I'm like, well, what about the single moms? And it's like such
I mean,
a hard thing.
We're going back and forth. As soon as she told me what you get paid in child support,
girl.
Which is what
but
I want to bring
bro,
up. I was like,
nothing.
This makes sense. And not only that, I've experienced child support growing up. So I want to, I guess, if you could tell our listeners your thoughts on child support. So how much child support do you get a month from your baby daddy?
I'm awarded around $45-$47 a month. And I have not seen that money for a year.
How old is your son?
Excuse me.
He's turning 12 in December.
He's turning so he's
now. I want to say this though. On the
it's
national,
ordered.
Like the National Bureau or something, I looked up. On average, men are paying 25% of their annual income.
About $400
for child support is the average. So 25%.
That nigga ain't making that much.
He's not making enough to pay you.
Right.
I don't
but,
think so. I don't know what he do. I don't talk to him. But
$45 is what you got awarded.
And he has another child who's also on child support, and she gets much more.
Why oh, you, really? Why? So why do you get less?
I don't know. There's something with the... I think it's the Massachusetts state law where, okay. Like, the older... the younger kids get more than your oldest
but
kid.
But older kids
was your
cost
kid more.
More.
I mean, in your opinion, has your son been more of an expense as a baby or as a teenager or a preteen?
It's all expensive. You think the money's gonna, like, shift from him, like, growing up, but it just becomes another bill for something else.
Mm-hmm.
I had to pay karate. It was, like, $150 a month. $160 a month, karate alone. That was one out of 5 activities he was playing.
Oh,
and I
shit.
I paid all that shit out of pocket.
Well, you got him in a special Black karate.
Yes, I do. Black instructor, Black owned business.
That's right.
I just feel like there's so many things that are said on social media, specifically from men acting like women either have babies to get child support or that the mothers use the child support for them and not the children. They'd be like, why is it not going to the kid? I really don't think that a lot of men take into consideration that, okay, there's expenses involved with children, but as a woman, your whole life is now changed.
Right.
Like, how you go about the jobs you can accept, the hours you can work, all of these things are put into that. I don't think the men look at it like that.
Right.
Like, you got a baby, so what?
Yeah, I got an argument this with my coworker because he was like, what the fuck, this is ridiculous, like, blah, 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 like, I don't care, the kids don't cost that much. I said, well, you know what costs that much? My fucking time. I got to get a job. I can't have a fucking social life. Like, are you fucking kidding me?
It's,
babysitters,
it's
just even trying to daycare after school, and you take that nigga on the weekends.
Daycare alone.
Oh, that's a super high bill. I already know.
Like, I'm so used to being broke. I just came into a little cash, a decent salary, and I still got plenty of loans, so my net worth is in the negatives. But I just became, like, very self-sufficient, where I don't need my mama help. I don't need my friend help. Like, I'm good. But I'm so used to being broke that with anything with my son, I ask for scholarships, like, automatically.
Oh, of course.
Anything he wants to do, first question out my mouth if I'm signing him up for something is a scholarship, because it costs that much. You need a discount somewhere. And then it's past financials. I think a lot of men and maybe some women as well think of it on a financial level. But sometimes I'm thinking, like, did you ever think about whenever a woman does receive that child support, by the time she get that money, all her kids' shit is going to be met anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
so it's coming out of your pocket regardless. Right. No one is waiting for your child support.
No one's, like, dying because you didn't pay your child support and these little ass coins that a lot of us are getting.
Right.
They're like, it's chump change.
It is.
How did you feel when you saw the Blake Griffin thing? And how do you feel about it with how much she's getting? Do you think?
I think it's fine.
I mean, he makes a lot of money.
I think
yeah.
He should be more.
You know, if he can afford it. And what's crazy to me is, and I kind of wanted to share my situation with child support, is my dad growing up, he stopped talking to us for well over a year because my mom wanted more. Mm-hmm. She was getting $80 a week for two kids. From my daddy. And so when she finally finished school to receive her LPN, she was then making too much money to be on Section 8 and food stamps anymore. So because she couldn't be on Section 8 and food stamps anymore, her job was still, as an LPN, I think was like $10 or $12
an
hour.
It evens out.
Yeah, so
you make a little more, but
she was making too much to get government assistance. So she took my dad back to court to raise child support. She ended up getting $150 a week, which is still only $600 a month for two kids. Okay. And just even through that experience, like, that's why we had to go through. It was so crazy because he felt like he did so much by giving this little bit of money. And it's crazy because not having that relationship with him, like, it was hell. He made all of us do DNA tests because he wanted to make sure he wasn't paying for a kid that wasn't his.
Oh.
Mind you, he raised, like, me and my sister, like, that's our daddy, like, biologically. So it just brought in so much because he thought his money was it. And it's crazy because it's affected me now as an adult,
right,
where I see men as ATMs, unfortunately. And I've talked about this with some of the guys. I mean, like, you right. can't tell me no. Like, my dad, you know, my daddy gave this, daddy gave that. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of, it sucks because now as an adult, seeing how much toiletries are, I tell my mama all the time, I don't know how the fuck she did it.
I didn't know that was what was going to come out of your mouth.
No, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. Toiletries is expensive.
Two-ply, my nigga.
For her to have to do it for four women, her and there's three of us. So tampons, conditioner.
I mean, shit, tampons alone.
Tampons
and
alone,
VO5 sucks.
Good shit.
I grew up in a single-parent household as well. Like, my mom, she took care of us and did everything, and I feel like child support was something that kind of came up. But one thing that never comes up with child support that sucks, like, we always talk about the money, we never talk about the time.
Ever.
Like, we always talk about, like, oh, here they go asking for all this money, but we never say, well, you know, what's the dad saying? Like, are they around? Like, are they going to spend time? Or, like, what's that game plan like? Because at the very least, if we say Blake Griffin hangs out with his children X amount of times, then we could be like, oh, well, maybe that's excessive since he does take his kids around, da da da. But why should we say that's excessive? He's a fucking
he's a dad.
Baller.
Right.
He had these kids because he could afford to.
Right.
And he could afford to pay the child support. And I don't think there's anything wrong with him paying it as long as he continues to take care of his kids as well.
And you know, people love arguing about someone else's money. That's all
they do, child.
But that's just, I ain't gonna lie, I be doing the same shit too. I'm like, so you telling me that nigga got more money than Diddy? I've been doing the same shit.
And I'm so happy you say that because I used to be like really angry about the amount I got. And then like it was so sporadic. He would go years without paying. Then I get like a lump sum. And then like it would go years again. I used to be really angry about it. But then I let it go when I realized, to your point, that the most important thing is my son's connection with his dad.
Right.
At the end of the day, I'm going to take care of everything my son needs. He's good. And so, but what I can't do for him is give him his dad's love. Only his dad can give that to him. So like, for example, this summer, he's going to spend a good chunk of time with his dad. And I could be an ass and I could never bring up the child support. I never bring up how long he ain't never paid me. The only conversation I want to have is, when are you going to see him? Is he good? When are you going to pick him up? When are you going to drop him off? And, like, spend time with him.
So
that is one thing I can't.
Let me ask both of y'all then, because I'm trying to think yes, time is very important. So do you feel like a man should pay less in child support if he is garnering that time with his children?
No.
I don't feel like he I don't feel like he should, but he does have at least a case to make to say that he can take care of his child to a certain degree. He just has to pay child support because of whatever the circumstance is with him and his baby mama.
Right. Okay. And okay, I can do that. Yeah, it is court ordered. And I want to give just a quick stat to our listeners, because I was speaking to my mom about this last night with what happened. And so say you have joint custody with your baby mother, your baby daddy, and say both of you guys pay for the child. I do want to let you know that as a woman, if this is not court ordered or on paper that you give her X amount of dollars, say, off the books, she can go to court and say that you have not given her a dime, and you can be retroacted to pay 2 years back. They'll only go 2 years back, but you'll owe 2 years worth of child support and then be court ordered to pay going forward.
So if you don't pay and she goes to court and tells on you.
So say you and your baby daddy have an arrangement, not on the books. No, okay. Say he's giving you $100 a week, but he's just giving it to you. Like, here you go. This is just from the kindness of my heart. Right. And you decide one day, you know what? You was late 2 weeks in a row and ain't giving me my money. I'm going to go put you on child support. Okay. You could go to the court and say, he ain't ever give me nothing. And he'll be required to pay you 2 years worth of child support.
Do that?
A lot of women will do that. You'd be surprised. And unfortunately, that's why I just want to let it be known. Like, this is something that maybe needs to be written on paper. If this is the situation or arrangement you have currently,
write it down.
I think you should definitely keep track of that.
It take one wrong IG post for a woman to see.
Here you go.
To be like, oh, this nigga took this bitch where? Oh, hell no. He ain't never taking me that. Oh, I'm about to take his ass to court and get all that money.
And that's the sad thing is, like, using, like, niggas have to act right on social media.
Y'all just need to act right all the time.
Act right all the time. Have your fucking side bitch, girlfriend, whoever you want. Just take care of your fucking kids.
That's it. And so, as y'all know, every week we do a kink of the week, and I'm excited about this one. And go ahead. You gonna do a jingle for us? Because you be doing jingles, bitch.
Hold on, wait. What was our thing?
Hold on. What's the jingle? Did we...
The condom stuck in her pussy?
Pull the pussy. How we forgot the jingle already?
I don't know, man.
Pull the pussy out.
That's because
we pull the pussy out.
She said, what are they? Pull the pussy out.
Damn, we high as fuck. Okay, anyway.
The condom was stuck in her pussy. Was it that?
Something like that.
What is it, a kids commercial?
So the kink of the week this week, guys, is amorophilia. Yes, bitch. So amorophilia usually manifests itself by an inhibition of sight, with either one or both partners using a blindfold or having sex in total darkness. This might be caused by reasons such as religious guilt about nudity and sex, low self-esteem, or feelings of inadequacy.
What?
Yes.
Why you just like being blindfolded a little bit?
So there is this, and so I wanted to talk about that because have you ever been blindfolded before?
Oh,
and because this is a kink, I mean, I could see maybe some people being insecure in the bedroom. You gonna do it tonight? You gonna get blindfolded tonight?
And I'll report back.
You never been blindfolded?
You never been?
It's a big difference.
And
it seems like such a basic thing, but when you lose one of your senses,
everything.
Holy shit. I've had my strongest orgasms blindfolded.
Really?
Because, like, something is gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't see anything. So now you're completely focused on the way you feel.
Now I've had pillows on my face. Does that count?
Pillows on your face, it's a blindness. So,
well,
yeah,
the pillows on your face sometimes is normally, like, a part of losing your breath. Like, losing your air.
Like, well, no, if he's suffocating, like,
you've
covered your face with a pillow.
I feel like
I'm having all kind of
faces. Because you're going to scream or something?
Yeah.
By the way, something I thought about when watching reading this is I was watching Handmaid's Tale.
Oh my God.
And do you remember when some religions, they fuck through a hole in the sheet because of the guilt about nudity and sex?
Yes.
And so this kind of made me think about that.
It's crazy because I feel like I've experienced some type of trauma now. Like, I don't ever want to be blindfolded. I got blindfolded for the first time. One guy, we talked about this with the stealthing of condoms. A guy snuck off the condom.
Oh, yeah.
While I was blindfolded.
It's fucking trash.
And I didn't realize.
That's right.
Girl, well, we're going to get into that. And I guess, so before we start, do you want to give a disclaimer for our listeners? Because I know we've been talking about how high we are. And
we've
been
cracking up.
So you segued into the goddamn it. That's great.
We wanted to let you guys know, we wanted to start it off on a light note, but as much as Dub has been a really good friend to the show and had such a raunchy episode with the unicorn shit. Mm-hmm. She actually told me that when she came to New York to visit that she wanted to do this. Mandy and I have both heard some stories about sexual trauma from her past, and it's been a long time that Mandy and I have wanted to do an episode like this, but we felt like it wasn't appropriate because, one, I think we talk sometimes too lax to just be like, we're going to just talk about this ourselves. We want to have someone that has experienced it, has coped through it, and that has worked through each stage of her feelings. And so if this is triggering for you anyway, we apologize. But we just wanted to give a disclaimer that we will be talking about rape and...
And sexual trauma.
And sexual trauma, so...
That's a good disclaimer.
Yeah.
Damn, I feel like you kind of read that like Morgan Freeman a little bit.
Well, I wanted to be serious because
you did good. Disclaimer, guys. If you guys didn't know by Wheezy's wonderful, lecture there.
You see my white voice, I'll be throwing on the work.
I just want you guys to know. No, but we are going to get into a little bit of a serious conversation. As you guys know, I'm not going to shout out the podcast because I don't like his ass no more, but I've spoken on a sexual, me and Wheezy have both kind of shared that we've both experienced sexual trauma.
But have you seen the pyramid, Mandy?
What pyramid?
There's a pyramid, right? Yeah. So Brilliant Idiots, I think, posted it once on YouTube, but there is a pyramid of the hierarchy of...
Sexual assault?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And so the one that you experienced is like right towards...
Oh, I'm sure that's the bottom.
No, it's not at the bottom. That's a...
No?
Dude, you didn't experience shit at the bottom. Someone pulled their fucking dick out on you. Shit at the bottom is like being spoken to in a dirty way.
Okay, but like the catcalling.
Yes.
Okay.
But it goes up and up and up. And what's your experience? I'm not diminishing it. I didn't mean to do that. I'm saying that's still pretty bad. Like,
right.
Being genitalia being exposed is a big deal, right? Because like we don't realize that the things that happen to us day to day are as bad as they are. And I'm going to pull it up so we can go through it together. But what Dub experienced is at the top. And I want to say, I've heard a lot of victim blaming about rape culture, especially from women, which is why, I didn't want to have you-know-who on the show.
Yeah.
Because I don't like when women say, oh, well, that's not really a big deal what happened to you. So in everyone else's mind, rape in the way that Dub experienced it is, quote unquote, the real way for y'all. And so I really want to...
I hate that they do that.
It's disgusting.
There's like a real, like, you really got raped. Yeah, you really got
that's
raped.
But look what happened to you with the condom thing.
Yeah,
it's
I know.
It's the same thing. So I want to start there and then kind of work down to the work experience and how they all are under the same umbrella.
Okay. So, I guess if you could share a bit of your story, introduce it
how old you were.
Sure.
Like and we're going to let you talk. So say it like you Morgan Freeman, bitch, right now. Okay, now I'm just like, go ahead.
What is with you and Morgan Freeman?
I don't know. We talked about elders.
He had a Me Too thing and it happened, bro.
Oh, wait, he's Me Too, too? Oh, shit. Okay, go ahead.
Hello. So I was 14. I started off a little, I hate to use this word, we're having this conversation, but fast. And I think I got attention from boys when I was like 13.
Okay.
I don't even think I told you this. So I lost my virginity to a 30-year-old and I was 14.
To a what year old?
30.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was completely consensual, but I just started off really fast. So I was dating this guy who was actually 22.
And you were how old?
I was 14. I told him I was 16.
Okay.
Still
a lot of girls do this. Yes.
There's something about 16 in our mind.
16 make us think we so grown.
He told me he was 19.
Wow.
Oh, y'all both lied.
Yep.
Okay.
So Q was due on the block. I was kind of dating him, sucking the dick a little bit. That's what dating was for me at the time. But then one day I invited him over and we were hooking up and then he went downstairs and invited his friends in my house. And I was gang raped by 6 guys, including him. So I ran away and then I went into this really deep depression for about a year. So for like 14 to 15, kind of.
That's a really
16,
young age to have something like that happen to you.
I was running away constantly, like going all over the place. Like I would go to church and I would leave because my mom would let me to go like Sunday school. And that's how I left. And I was like, so I didn't use drugs. I actually wasn't even smoking weed, but my drug was sex. So I was fucking everybody. Older guys, younger guys, my guys. Well, not really guys my age. They were at least 19. All the guys.
No, let me ask you a question.
Back to back, just like
because
diving in.
You experienced him and his friends.
Right.
Do you mind sharing the number?
It was 6.
So 6 guys total. And the triggering thing, because a lot of women would maybe assume that you would go through a phase where you hated men. So for you telling me you went through a phase where you were constantly fucking after that, well, to me that's opposite. I feel like,
think about it like this.
I'm listening.
It was one of my first sexual experiences was someone way too old for me.
Okay.
And then my like maybe third sexual experience was, well, maybe not third. If you don't count sucking dick, it was like my third sexual experience was rape. So, like, I did not know a loving, romantic, intimate, like, relationship at that time. I only knew fucking. I only knew. And to me, the word no didn't matter. So, like, I would hang out with guys, and if I knew it was getting sexual, I knew in my mind, like, if I'm going to say no, they're going to do it anyway. And so I would end up having a lot of sex.
When you were going through that, when the men were coming upstairs, how was the conversation? Did you ever say stop?
No. Yes. But it didn't matter.
And then
what did it for me, so at first I was like, stop, and it was like a very forceful, like violent situation in terms of me pushing back. But then when they sodomized me, I just laid there.
They sodomized you with what?
Their dicks.
That means anal.
Oh, just anal. The anal.
Anal rape.
I don't know why sodomized to me makes me think they used tools, like, or
it could be tools.
It could be tools.
It's just anally. Is it anal penetration or anal rape? Sodomized. I think it's anal penetration.
I think it's just anal.
Sodomy
penetration.
Is just the act of anal. Yeah, that's why you can, like, I think in Georgia it's still illegal or some crazy shit like that. Sodomy. And,
yeah.
But
what? Sorry, just to cut.
No, go.
What was your relationship like with your family when all this was going on?
Yeah, great question. My mom and I's relationship tanked. I became very angry and so she was kind of talking shit to
me. Were you keeping this private? Can we start there?
So she walked into it.
What?
Yeah.
Wait, your mom walked into...
That's how it stopped. And then
God, I don't remember
what?
That.
They ran out of the house. She's like chasing them down the street. And then I get my clothes on and I dip. And I run away for like 2 days.
Were you bleeding?
Yeah. So then I came back, did a rape kit.
Where did you go?
Where did I go? I was somewhere in Boston.
2 days.
I was just like roaming the streets. I was homeless, actually. Those were my only 2 days in my life I've been homeless.
At 14.
At 14. And I was like, I have to go home.
Were you scared of your mom?
Hospital. Yeah, I thought she was going to whoop my ass because I didn't know what she thought it was.
Oh, she didn't. So in your mind, you thought that she could have walked in
with a bunch of niggas and I'm naked. I didn't want her thinking
that you asked for it.
I was into it. Right. So I thought she was going to be pissed. And she was pissed, but she believed me right away. She never questioned that I was raped.
So when this happened and now your mom knows, you know what is, I get the aftermath of it, but did you go ahead and go through with a rape kit or press charges?
Yes.
So can you talk through what a rape kit?
It's awful. It's just cold. I actually don't really like hospitals because of that, because it's just cold and they're just swabbing you. And
so they're swabbing your mouth? Like, how does that go?
They look at your vagina and they like see if there's like cuts and bruises. They take pictures. It's like a police.
Pictures?
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Well, they took pictures of me.
So when you called the police, who called the police? Your mom?
My mom did.
Okay. Yeah. And what kind of questions, is that how you...
Oh, I fucking hate the cops because of this. Because so they were like, oh, so you, like, pretty much they made me feel like I wanted it, which is exactly what I didn't want. And I just didn't feel protected.
Right.
Okay.
Because these were guys in the neighborhood. That was the worst part. Like, I know these niggas. Well, I didn't really know them well. I knew the guy that I was, quote unquote, dating.
Right.
So he was like in the neighborhood, roaming free, and I'm like, and then I had all the DNA on me, right?
Wow.
So, like, there was no question about it, and I was, like, bruised and, like, all this stuff, but they still were just like, well, why, like, how this happened?
How did it happen?
Like,
right.
Why did you? And just made me feel like I was
your mom sitting with you while they asked you questions?
Yeah.
Was your mom getting, like...
I don't really remember her reaction, but it was very tense. And I just shut down. Like, when I knew this was going, I was like, okay, I'm just not going to press charge. Like, I'm not going to go through this. Like, you think I'm going to go to court and y'all going to be having me, like, at a jury or whatever the fuck?
Right,
in my
because
mind,
then,
you know what I'm saying?
In
like,
your mind, it's also six against one.
Like,
all six of them could say you wanted it or asked for it.
Were you also worried about what would happen when you went to court and, like... What if they didn't get convicted? These people that fucking rape you, and now you're sitting here, and you got to see all these motherfuckers in the neighborhood.
It's my family, like my little brother, and my sisters, and my mom. My mom's a teacher in the neighborhood. Like, I was just like, I'm not gonna go through this. Like, if the police don't believe me, and y'all got, and you could see me, it's like a few days after, and I'm clearly like going
traumatized,
through it,
right?
And y'all niggas are questioning me. I'm not gonna go through this. Like, I'm not gonna put my family.
I never asked you this in all the time I've known you, but. The next time that you saw one of them, what was that like?
It's, you know, the PTSD, that shit is real. There were certain scents that, like, if I smelled it, I was immediately triggered. There's actually certain parts of Boston, this is, like, later in my story, but there's actually certain parts of Boston that I won't even go to because I'm just, like, instantly triggered. It's weird. Like, if I see them, obviously it was a trigger, but, like, it was some, it could be much more subtle than that.
Did any of them ever apologize to you?
The guy I was dating did. Years
did
later.
did you accept that apology?
It didn't matter at that point. The damage was done.
Right.
You know,
like, it didn't really matter.
Did you ever ask why?
It wasn't necessary for my healing at that point.
Right.
Okay.
It was nice to hear, but it wasn't necessary.
Had you asked why?
I don't think I asked why. I think he just apologized.
I think I said it on the episode with Wax, and I asked why to the guy that I got raped by, and he told me he liked watching me cry. And it was so disgusting to hear. And I remember it was like on AIM, he told me that. And I was shaking after that shit because I was like, how can you even admit this shit?
Yeah.
Now, this happened to you a second time. Can you describe how old you were the second time?
So when I went to my deep depression, I was fucking a lot. I met another group of guys that I would consensually have sex with them often.
As a group?
As a group. They would technically run trains on me.
Okay, how many guys?
Six of them.
Okay.
And I would hang out with them too, and I would run away. If I ran away, I was with them niggas for a very long time, for about a year. So then...
How old were you?
So it's like 15.
15.
So the next year.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This, my whole 15, like, I tanked in school. I was running away. The cops were like, we're going to lock you up if you keep running away. So that's when I was like, okay, well, I'm not going to go to jail. So let me get my shit together. So I slowly got my shit together. My mom, I had like six therapists in a 2-year time frame. My mom switched me out of a school. That really helped. So I was going to like the, so I'm from Cambridge and like in Massachusetts, and there's one high school in Cambridge. Uh-huh. So everyone was like, she's a hoe, right?
Okay.
They heard what happened. And I was like, so I was tainted as a hoe. And it was just really tough. And my mom worked at the school. So it was just a lot. So my mom switched me out of the school to a school that was like everyone in the school had a therapist in-house.
Okay.
It was for kids who like really going through some shit. So she put me in that school. Amazing school. She saved my life. So by this time, I'm hitting 16. I'm 16 years old. And I'm really starting to get my shit together. I'm like, okay, well, I can't be fucking with these niggas no more. I gotta like... And I'm, like, doing well in school. I actually graduated a year early from school.
Okay.
I
was, like, not to mention my biscuit on the master's, you know what I'm saying?
You know.
Graduated when I was 16, but, like, it was really hard. And I did it because I was like, I can't be in Boston. I felt like Boston was going to kill me
at this
point. So, I cut it off with the guys that I'm regularly having sex with. And I'm like, no. So, for a while, I don't see them. But then one day, one of them that I'm, like, the one I'm most close with hit me up. It was like, you want to hang out? And I was like, all right. So they all come over and we're all chilling. And then it just, I swear to God, it just turns and it breaks my heart because I actually really fuck with them. All my other sexual experiences have been completely 1,000% consensual.
Right.
But the one time I was like, you know what? I'm really not trying to be doing that shit with y'all no more. They just took it in their own hands and they raped me.
Now, a lot of people claim that you can't get raped by like someone you know or someone you let in your home. Well, wives can't get raped by their husbands.
No, you totally can.
No, well, the wives not getting raped by their husbands things, but there's like stats show that most rapes actually occur from people that you know.
Not by people you've had sex with. A lot of people say that, like, how can you say that you got raped?
I've had sex before.
Yes.
Can't be considered rape at some point.
People have used that again, like in defense when they've been accused of rape. Like, well, I fucked her before.
Yeah. And that was my challenge with the second rape, because I was like, these niggas are supposed to be my friends. And actually, most of them ended up apologizing in time.
I still don't know
exactly what the fuck.
So what was your second step for this time? You said you did another rape kit. So
I did another rape kit. I went to the hospital right away. Again, my mom was super supportive and she never questioned me. So shout out to her.
That's amazing.
Got a rape kit, but I did not go to the police because I was like, I'm not doing that shit. And I was so close to getting out of Boston.
What made you have to go to the hospital?
You have to. If you're raped, you have to. You just have to get a DNA. The thing is, they keep the DNA, the rape kits, for like 6 years or something. So if you ever change your mind, if you want to press charges,
if you want to press charges, okay.
So that's why I go. And that's why I tell everyone, if you're ever raped, just get the rape kit and have that shit sitting there. Because anytime you do want to go for it, and you should, because I regret not going for it.
You regret not going to
the police and like pressing charges.
For the second time?
Both times.
So I want to go in this hierarchy really quick.
There was more strength in me that I didn't realize at the time. But now looking back, I'm like, I probably could have pulled that shit off.
Them niggas
should have paid.
All of them.
Because they're walking around now, living their life. And I know that shit eating them up. And I know they did that shit again, I'm sure.
That's what I was going to go to. Like, if they did it with you and were so comfortable and then just gave you a sorry, like, that's something that probably they've done another time.
Can you put this on the screen? If you Google rape culture pyramid. So the reason I was so proud of you just a few weeks ago when we were in Seattle together is because you had a situation that happened at work. And I want to show you guys this pyramid. We'll post it on Horrible Decisions. But the reason it's so important is because you didn't press any charges on the men that did something so fucking brutal and disgusting to you.
Right.
But you did take matters into your own hands to what some people feel like is not a big deal. So here's the pyramid. So at the top of the pyramid, it's like three different colors. There's rape, drugging, molestation. And for Mandy, which is funny, you just brought that up, stealthing, covert condom removal is all the way at the top.
Oh, shit. And that's what happened to me.
Told you.
And it's crazy because when the thing happened to me on the train, so I don't think I've mentioned too much of it on this episode. Actually, maybe I have brought it up. So I was on the train coming home from work, and it was an express train, and y'all know how these motherfucking trains in New York get packed. And I go to step off of the train. Mind you, I had felt a guy bumping into me the whole way, but we were so packed, there was nowhere to move. So I was trying to put my purse behind me, but there was just no room. And so the whole time, and I'm like, I feel this nigga's dick is getting hard, but I thought it was through his pants. So I go to step out of the train, and this nigga's whole dick is exposed. He had been rubbing his dick on me the whole time I was on the train.
It's old guy?
It was an older black guy on top of that. So I like just felt super violated, but that was... In my mind, in my life, that was the first time I had experienced, like, you know, that type of rape, I guess would say. To me, that was considered rape. So when we talk about the condom removal from the guy who blindfolded me, I didn't even consider that rape. I felt violated, but I didn't even consider it rape.
And if you keep going, look what... So by the way, if y'all want to look it up, it's type in rape culture pyramid. It says 11th principle of consent. So it goes by normalization, degradation, and then assault at the top. Mm-hmm. So that was sexual assault you experienced, Mandy. Yeah. So both are at the top. So in the middle, you have coercion, revenge porn, groping, and safe word violations. Towards the bottom, non-consensual photos or video, stalking, victim blaming, flashing or exposing, unsolicited dick pics.
Mm. Oh, shit. That's
unwanted touch, catcalling.
Y'all be raping on Instagram.
Yup.
Sending me all them goddamn dicks. Boy, I don't want to see your dick.
Boys will be boys, rape jokes, and locker room banter. So our president is right towards
our president.
The bottom. Just want to say.
All up and through this pyramid.
He's
shit. Actually,
all
yeah.
Up
all the tried, I'm
I was
sorry.
About to say, he's
I'm
kind
just
of...
saying the one with the locker room talk people love to say. But yeah, so every like right when you said you were like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. I was like, I'm pretty sure that's like,
yeah, I didn't even realize that. That's crazy.
The thing is, when you look at this pyramid, like everybody experiences this, or even
men.
Yes.
Like even women, victim blaming and shit like that do this bullshit.
Yeah.
Like everybody's in this pyramid, and I feel like this is a time where everybody needs to become better educated and really see that this is a people thing.
Yeah. Right.
Because men should not just take advantage of any situation ever.
Right.
And I feel like it's mostly men, because women do have that shit too. But men, it's more often than not, will take advantage, whether it's saying some shit or joking some shit off and even just trying to apologize just to get away with it.
Right. But how you brought that up, I wanted to ask you, the female friends in your life, your aunts, your female cousins, at any point, do you feel like they did look at you like, well, you did something wrong? Because as women, I feel like, and that's why, again, we haven't had a certain guest on the show, because we don't really like the victim blaming that even women put on other women.
Right.
So what was the response from other women in your life?
That's a great question. So my mom at first was like a little shady, and she was saying a little slick shit, like, you a little bit of a hoe. And I was, it was, it was at a bad time in my life. So I was like, bitch, fuck you. I'm like, I'm not taking that shit. So me and her used to bump heads, but then that totally changed. She don't do that no more. I used to, in high school, like when all that stuff was going on, I had some female friends and they were just awful. They were spreading rumors about me and all this stuff. So I ended up cutting them off. And I made a rule to myself, like, if I'm really going to heal and like become the woman that I've always wanted to become, which is this woman sitting right here, I have to have good people in my life, mm-hmm. male or female, and I'm not taking no shit. So like, actually, when I hit or went to the high school that had therapy in it, I had some really good female friends. This girl named Atia, actually, she was super dope, and she always supported me and always believed me and never questioned me. And then when I went to FAMU, which was my first college, I had amazing female friends, some of which, you know, with Shyla and stuff, like I've had years after. And they all know what happened to me, and they never questioned me. And I just won't take no shit. Like, if I'm sure there has been girls that have questioned me, but then I don't remember their names.
Right.
I'm not having them around. I can't have them in my space. And it was really important for me to get to a place where I wasn't thinking about it every day, and then eventually not wearing that abuse on, because I used to just wear it. Like, you could just look at me and just, like, I would talk about it. Like, that's why it's so good, easy for me to talk about it now, because I've talked about it for years. I used to tell everybody, because that was how I healed. Mm-hmm. But okay. I wanted to still get to a place where, like, I don't want to talk about this shit no more.
Right.
And the only way I was going to do that is if I had good people around me to support me.
Now, what is the coping stage after? Like,
after, so, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I coped pretty well, and then other times I feel like I probably could have did it better. Who knows? But I left Boston. That was really stage one of like full on healing. Now my past did follow me. Like, I had very bad habits, and not very bad, but pretty bad habits in Florida, and I was still fucking ain't shit niggas, and you know what I'm saying. But I also started to own it. So the reason I'm able to be like, I'm a hoe, I'm like, I do what the fuck I want to do, and I'm, you know, and I'll fuck who I want to fuck, and I'm with who I want to with, is because I took what happened to me and just like started to own my story, and I never shied away from my story. If anyone asks me or if I'm talking about it, it's always been the same fucking story. And I was just like, I own my shit.
I also right? really and appreciate
that's
how, you for
that's part of my healing.
Admitting that you had slept with these men before.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a
Which
big...
I don't really talk about that part of the story.
I know. And I feel like that's a big deal because people sometimes think that, like, women are expecting a pity party. You know what I'm saying? For stories like this, people think that that's what women want. So to sit there and say, like, hey, I did sleep with these men before. They were in my home because I let them in. But what happened to me is still wrong is a big fucking deal.
I agree with that.
Because what happened to you is fucking brutal. Like, not every time is there this situation where someone's, like, sleeping in the house and someone breaks in and rapes them. Like, what happened to you is still fucking wrong. There's another thing that I want to bring up, too. A lot of people feel like promiscuity is deeply rooted with sexual trauma.
They do.
And this is just one story out of many, and it's not connected. Yeah. You know, I interviewed someone that has had one orgasm in her life, been raped, and has total issues with having sex, rarely has sex.
Right.
Like, so everyone everybody is different.
Yeah, everyone
there's
does.
There's no right way to react.
And it's no.
But even the way you were open with constantly talking about it, you said that that was part of your healing process. Yeah. There's so many women. There's a lot of women, though, that feel that shame and don't speak on it. And so a lot of them hold it in and harbor those feelings and emotions and don't really talk it out, whether it's with friends, a therapist, their parents. It's something that they keep inside, which a lot of times I think, and you talk a lot on mental health on the Friend Zone, and I think a lot of it just has to do with when you harbor those things mentally, it fucks you up way more than just releasing
you.
It eats at
it
you.
It really eats at
it you. It really does.
And I encourage anyone going through anything, it don't have to be sexual trauma, it be anything. You can just be mad at somebody, right? Mad at your friend, you got to talk about that shit.
You have to. So
if you're somebody that ain't got shit to talk about, be somebody that can listen. Don't be judgmental. If you have questions, ask.
Yeah. I was gonna say, always make sure you listen. Like, I feel like we toss the judgment out real quick before we listen.
Yeah.
We brought this up. We brought up the pyramid because I wanted to talk about something that was toward the bottom stage.
Okay.
But you took very big action on. I don't know if we'll have time for homo, but let's see how long this goes. Okay. Can you talk about the work scenario that happened to you?
Yes. So I want to give context. So we stopped when I was at FAM if we fast forward, I had a kid, I'm grown, and I've actually not had any, well, looking at this pyramid, I have plenty of that, but like, but like assault, I haven't been assaulted or tried or anything right. like that for years. So mm-hmm. I can say that. Get to work, and I have a quote unquote work husband, just meaning that I was close with someone, and if I had a bad day, I would go to him. We go to lunch together, you know, stuff like that. Just really cool, and I really like we enjoyed each other's friendship. Child, I am asleep one day because I've been partying all summer because my son was at camp, so but the bitch needed a break. So I'm asleep, and it's like 8 o'clock. He's blown. He called me twice.
Okay,
and no one from work ever calls me, not even him after 4. Because don't fucking call me. And he leaves a voicemail. So this is key, because you come into play for this. But I don't listen to the voicemail. I don't listen to the voicemail right away. Text him. He calls me. He's like, what are you doing? Want to get up for a drink? Want to party? Whatever. I'm like, I'm tired. I need to get some air, whatever. So I go get some air. I'm in Chipotle. And I'm like, okay, maybe I can go out. So he ends up calling me back because I sent him like thinking emojis. Ends up calling me back, and it's like, you know, we're trying to like figure it out. I'm like, you know, I don't think it's gonna happen. He's like, I don't think you understand what I'm trying to do. And I can't like say it how he said it, but he was like, I'm trying to fuck you. And I remember being on the phone like, did this nigga really just say that? Like, what the fuck is he talking? So I reply back, first thing on my mind, I was like, I will never fuck you. And then he's like, I'm happy you said that, and I'll talk to you later. So we hang up. All night, I feel disgusting. But I'm like, you know what? Just sleep it off. You're fine, right?
Oh, right.
Next morning, he texts me, I'm sorry, LOL. And I'm like, no, LOL. Like, you tried the fuck out of me. We had a friendship. And you took that shit left. I said, you selfishly took it left. He's like, well, I hope you forgive me. And I apologize, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I'll forgive you. I was like, but next time I won't be quiet.
I like that you brought that up because I don't think a lot of guys realize by them saying, I want to fuck you, how it makes a woman feel.
I felt.
Especially not being in that space with that person.
And you know what? The 14-year-old girl came back up, which she hasn't come up in years. But that's what it was. That 14-year-old girl who has been used and used herself over and over, just purely fucking, nothing else, just like an object.
Right.
That all came back. And I was like, how fucking dare you? Because this whole time, unbeknownst to him, I have been working to become a woman who has her past, but has like soared, right?
Right.
And like, you can't look at me now and know anything that's going on with me, right? And I like, how fucking dare you? So anyway, so about 10 days go by. I don't see him because either he's traveling or I'm traveling. But when I'm in the office, I like start hating going to the office. Now, I love my job.
Right.
And I love everyone at my job, and everyone at my job love me. And I start showing up at work and slowly like isolating myself. I'm cranky. I'm tired. Like something's off. So I finally tell you when we're in Seattle, and then you listen to the voicemail.
So let me just, she tells me what happens, and she's like, girl, I haven't told you what happened at work. Tells me a story, shows me the text. She's like, he left me a voicemail that I haven't listened to. I was like, get the fuck out of here. We need to hear this. And I felt guilty now because I didn't know what it was going to sound like. But let me just tell you, it was one of the creepiest sounding voicemails. Like, my skin was crawling. He's on there and he's like, hey, you know.
Why?
I swear that's how it's going. He's like, I'm going to try to do my best. My skin was crawling. I'm out right now. You know, I'm thinking about you. I want to get fucked up. I'm trying to do something wild with you right now. I'm trying to do something really crazy with you. Are you down for that? Like, do you want that? Like, I mean, this shit.
Disgusting.
Wow. It was so bad. Now I'm holding it on speakerphone thinking we were going to laugh. And I'm looking at her face and how tight, like, I'm looking at her body language. And I realized what I was doing. And she's like, she could barely talk. I can't work now.
I can't do this.
So let me ask you, have you taken that to HR?
Yeah, let me tell you what happened.
Yes, sis, let's go.
So that was Sunday. Monday, I talked to my mom and I ended up like really just losing it. And she was like, you have to tell somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And I knew he was on vacation that week. So I was like, if there's any time to say it, do it now because he's not in the office and you can just do it. So the company is run by three people, and one of them is a woman. Uh-huh. So I invited her to lunch because she knew something was off. And she actually invited me on Monday. And then Tuesday, I was like, actually, I want to take you up on that. So we went out to lunch. It's funny because we were just walking up a hill, and she was like, what's going on with you? And I was like, let's sit down. She was like, and she's like hyper. And she's like, tell me now. I'm like,
oh, me? You need to be sit down. Like, what is
so we sit down. I tell her, and I just start bawling and just like, it just all flushed out. And her reply was like, he's out of here. He's done. He's fired. Done. She was pissed. She was like, I'm so disgusted. She was like, and I was like, I'm sorry. Because I still had that 14-year-old girl inside of me thinking about everybody else but herself. Yep. Like, what would this do to this person? And I was thinking actually about him. I'm like, okay, well, if he gets fired, and then like, and I didn't even know if I wanted him fired, but I knew that I had to tell somebody what was going on with me at work. Because I was going into work and not being myself. Mm. And she was just like, that's not acceptable. You should be angry. She's like, you should be like trying to fight him right now. Like, she's like, stop fucking crying. Like, you should be pissed. And she was so supportive. She's like, he's done. She was like, you'll never see him again.
Now, let me tell you what's crazy about that. Told someone, I don't want to make it obvious, but told somebody about this. And I'm like, can you believe this happened to my friend? Blah, blah, blah. And he was like, damn. Did that dude have kids, though? Like, did he have a family?
See?
Tell it. Go ahead. I know what you're going to say.
No, you know what I'm going to say. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
All I'm going to say is that shit, it is worth you losing your fucking job for, because you don't realize you're literally dehumanizing someone. You're making someone mm-hmm. question, like, the root of themselves for the rest of their life. Like, you're fundamentally fucking somebody up. So if you want to even chance that bullshit by saying, I want to fuck you, like, then your ass can fuck your damn self.
But even I would kind of even question where your friend or your coworker, whoever his mindset or her mindset is to say that, because it's like, so you're putting this person's life over the sanity of my friend.
Bro, I was shocked.
Experience,
and I was like, listen to me, bro. I was like, I know my friend. I know this person. Like, trust me when I tell you. I was like, if I feel like I can't do my job because you want to be a piece of shit, then you gotta go. I got a kid too, nigga.
Hello.
But they should have been thinking about their kids if they had them before trying to do some shit.
Hold on. Crazy enough, days later, what happens to me? So I got this new job, right? Now I was working in a very relaxed company, whatever. Now I'm at a more like up there in the ranks tech firm, like, you know, covered up suit. Like, I have bought a whole new wardrobe to make sure I'm appropriate. I used to have my tattoos out of work, whatever. HR sends out a thing about dress code. There's a guy in the office that always dresses like shit. Apparently he says to somebody, oh wow, I think it's about me. He said, I think it's about the new girl because of her breasts. Now, when I tell y'all,
you could get fired for that.
I am constantly covered up. I was almost in tears because I'm so conscious about the things I wear. I don't even not wear long sleeves because of my tattoos.
And that's fucked up because you shouldn't even have to worry about that.
Right? No. So I go to this older woman in the office. I never really talked to her. I think I'd say she's in her late 60s. I'm like, listen, I need to ask you a serious question. I just want you to be honest with me. Do I dress appropriate enough? And she's like, are you kidding me? Yes, of course you do. And she's like, where is this coming from? I started breaking down, told her what happened. She was disgusted. I'm like, I don't want to say anything. I'm too new for this. People are going to be sensitive around me. I want to do my fucking job. I'm not trying to get fired. I was so fucked up about it. Bro, I went to my boss. I said, I just want to let you know that I'm going to be having a conversation with someone. And I need to know what to do to protect myself to make sure I don't get fired in case I go off.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait, let me do it, blah, blah, blah. I don't know what happens. He talks to the director. And he's like, it's handled. Do you know this nigga be looking at me, the one that was talking about my breasts? I don't even know his name. I've never spoke to him, nothing. Like, I'm a piece of fucking shit now.
I mean, and
like, it's my fault.
It's what he said. And it's crazy because I feel like as women, we've all experienced this even in the workplace. So I haven't yet experienced it in corporate America. But, you know, for the 7 years prior to getting my degree, I bartended and worked in the clubs. Right. And I worked at a certain club up here in New York, and it's very small and everyone knows who's worked there. So I'm not going to say the name of it. But mm-hmm. when I worked there, I was very uncomfortable with the manager. A lot of the bartenders and a lot of girls were fucking the staff to get more days on the schedule. And it started to be to where we had to be at the club at a certain time. And I would normally come early and do my makeup and stuff. But when I was alone in the club, he would invite me to his office. Mm-hmm. And he would try to rub or suck on my tits. And he propositioned me for sex multiple times. When you're in the clubs, this happens a lot. Ugh. And it got to the point where I started going to work on purposely late because I knew other girls would be there. So maybe he wouldn't ask me to go into the office with him alone. Right. And then it just got to the point where I was just like, I stopped even caring if I was on the schedule or not. And because I wasn't making those advances with him, I know other girls were. And so to even be in a space where it's like my money, me making money and me being on the schedule is determined upon if I let you play with me or not. And I think a lot of men... In your say, it was him saying it, but I think a lot of men even use their power absolutely in the workspace to make you feel uncomfortable. And so I've experienced that working in the clubs, and I hate it.
It's even a power in the fact that he can still come to work and look at you like you're a piece of shit when he's the one that did something wrong.
I am so confused.
Like, it would be okay if he were to come up to you and be like, and sincerely be like, look, I'm sorry about the comment I made about your breasts.
But him to be mad.
But he looking at you like, here this bitch go.
Right. Like, oh my God, I know. Like, I can't believe this new bitch. And let me tell you something. So we had this thing, we had some corporate board meeting, and I got an award for, you know, reaching quota, blah, blah, blah. And the next award was him. And I was like, everybody knew I had a problem with his ass. I was lips turned up. I looked like the black bitch of the office. I don't give a fuck. Because now you want to make me feel like that? Oh, I'm going to do it in your face.
Right.
Please. Right. I was so fucking awkward. I was in the office and it was hot, right? The AC went on the left side of the office and he was near the lunchroom. Somebody's like, oh, I'm burning up. I said, well, God forbid I take off this sweater, right?
I mean, but before we wrap up with this conversation, because we all have experienced this in different ways, I guess I want to leave off by all of us maybe giving a little note of advice or a tip. If someone is currently experiencing this, whether it's at the workplace or whether they don't know how to heal with their sexual trauma and they haven't spoke on it, what would be a bit of advice that you would give to any of the listeners who've experienced anything that we've talked about today?
Great question. Definitely talk about it. Get that shit off of your chest. I used many different forms. It wasn't just talking to like friends. I had therapists. I journaled a ton. I got books. Okay. And I used music as well to like kind of free myself. A lot of Eve's music, because you talk about that. So just get it off your chest. It will eat you up and it's not fair. But also, I just want to say that you can go through the worst. I went through hell and I'm fine.
Right.
That's the best advice. Like, you'll be fine. It's just gonna take second by second and then minute by minute and then hour by hour and then year by year.
You gave me that advice one day when I was going through my depression. She was like, look, you're gonna take it minute by minute right now. She was like, but then it's gonna be an hour and then it's gonna be a day.
It's true.
And that shit is so true.
You know, I like that. You're fine.
So I like that. What about you, Asante? Do you have any advice?
I just want to have a call to action for all the men out there. Or
yes.
I mean, it's different for same sex. So like, I could give out that advice, but I don't really feel like they listening to y'all show. So for all the straight men out there, make sure that you are sex is consensual between two people. Make sure the person you're having sex with is into it. By taking something from somebody, that's not going to make it any more pleasurable. It's actually going to make your shit fucked up for the rest of your life. So that karma is real. And I think that we all need to help each other more and stop being so judgmental. Because I hate seeing this trend of rape culture. Like, oh, well, what did she have on? And all that bullshit.
All the time.
These follow-up questions should not be follow-ups at all.
Ever.
And it sucks that it's so normal for all that shit. Like, it's normal for this man to be able to come back to work. Like, not to say he needed to lose his job, but he shouldn't even be able to look at you and get away with looking at you like that after he said.
And I'm not saying that he needed to lose his job either. We're talking about my breasts. But the fact that me and y'all know how vocal I am, I even said to this woman, you know what? I'm too new here. I'm not trying to make people feel sensitive. I just want to do my job real good, and I feel like I shouldn't do this.
And you shouldn't even have
who
to
has a sex
way.
Podcast
it's
about
crazy
empowerment.
Because I was going to say that was going to be my advice. And it's something that you brought up too. I think we as women need to focus on ourselves and not give a fuck how this is going to affect the next person. I think that it's important that you look for self-worth and how you feel and how it's going to affect you in the long run, instead of worried about if he loses his job or what his friends are going to think or what anyone's going to think about that person. You need to focus on yourself.
I'm going to tell you what though. For me, it was more so like, I know for a fact in that office that I am one of few women, one, my age, my ethnicity, all of it. And all I could think is, if I do this, they're not going to hire another girl. That scared me. Because as a feminist, I'm worried about every fucking move I make in the office, because I know for a fact if I'm good, I had someone tell me to my face, my boss, my last job, you know, I'd never hire a girl before you. And he was like, honestly, and he was like, you are the reason that we have this new girl on the team. You are the only one who's gave me faith in women. Like,
well, the equality that will come from saying something, because
but yeah,
you can on the other end, way less.
But now, because now you're normalizing the pattern, though. By acting like, I see what you're saying, but
because
by doing
I
that,
thought, and I, inter- like he even said I internalize that, as if I'm doing good at my job,
that's some trash for him to even say.
And you'll this is when,
as a woman, he's saying it. That's, but what if someone was like, I ain't never hired black people before, but now
I'm
going
to hire you.
But
listen to me. When he said that to me, I really believed that is what affected me from not talking about what happened at work. I thought about what he said to me, and I said, you know what? That one person said that to my face. Mm-hmm. What does that mean if I fucking tell about what this dude did at work?
But
am I going
to
fuck about
if
the women?
If you don't speak up as well, you're literally allowing the doors to be open for somebody to
for
come
other
in,
women.
And that should happen.
And
to
me, that was worth more than being worried about the potential hiring. There's got to be someone else in this office this nigga did this shit
and
to.
And I know the moment I said something at work, I was freed. Everything. Like, I was stressed out. My body hurt. I was cranky. And the moment I told her and he was fired, which that was her decision, I was free. And it's about, to your point, it's about freeing yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Fantasia.
You know, not Fantasia.
Do you want to do...
No, what? I don't... We're not going to have time at all. So we're not going to have time for home mail this episode, but I'm really glad that we were able to...
Now, hold up. Now, you
this.
Told
I
me.
Know, no, I know.
Y'all wrote me into this for the home mail, but I'm going to give you a pass. That means you got to have
you back. No,
you get the question about family, we needed you here.
No, we definitely need you here. We appreciate you even being able to speak up for the men, you know, and telling them that they need to check themselves. But I appreciate you. Before we head out again, I want to thank you guys all for you know, supporting the show and becoming patrons. It's really helping us bring a lot to you guys, being in the studio more, having this camera for you guys on YouTube. You guys need to thank these patrons. And again, if you guys want more episodes, if you've maybe listened to all of the episodes and you're like, we need more of you hoes, we do drop two bonus episodes a month now. On top of the live shows. We include those on,
For those of y'all who asked for merch, if you are a certain tier, we are sending out Horrible Decisions t-shirts. And let me tell you, niggas is greedy. You got thongs, y'all got this,
you got socks, thongs. You got coffee cups, like, y'all gotta calm the fuck down. Also, before we go out, I want to give a huge shout out to my homegirl, the SamanthaWest.com. She is a new mother, and so she's blogging about motherhood, she's blogging about travel, she's blogging about creating her own business, and then she also now has these bomb ass clothes that fit all sizes. Y'all see I'm thick, and bitch, I got a medium and it feel real nice. But no, she definitely talks about being a new mother, and there's just nice ass clothes for y'all to check out. I'm gonna put the link in the bio of this show, or description, I always call it a bio, but it's the SamanthaWest.com. again, please check it out, check out her blog. Thank you guys so much. I guess before we go off, where can our listeners catch you guys? Tell them where they can follow y'all.
I'm on Twitter, Dubs_Duh. I might change it back to Lady W.
I like Lady W.
I've been tagging you as Lady W.
You know, Dubs, I need you to go back to Lady W. And of course, y'all know we got our resident gay in the building. One more time, go ahead and let them know where to find you. And y'all got some shows and shit coming up too, right? No, are they all gone?
Yes, you can find me on all social media at Hey Asante. That's HEYASSANTE. And I will be going on the road with the Friends
Only. On the road.
So if you want to catch me.
You know, they be having tour dates.
Tour dates?
We be having Once in the Blues.
You know what?
I was going to read off my dates.
Go ahead.
But since y'all acted like.
No.
Let me do it for you.
Now I'm not going to.
How dare you do it for yourself?
No,
open it up.
Now I'm not going to read off my dates.
Please.
Let's put the thumb on the guy.
No, no, no. I want my Morgan Freeman voice.
Yeah. No, go ahead and read the dates.
If you would like to see Asante, Hey Fran, and look at Dustin.
Y'all
got to
look at Dustin. Some fine ass and Hey Friend, Hey Ass. Period.
I wanted to suck Dustin's dick so bad at your show.
I really wish y'all would leave me out of the
appendages
of my friends.
Well, I want all your friends to
be too, bro. All right. To see the Friend Zone Live, their fall tour, August 18th in New York City, September 22nd, Toronto, Ontario. Is that Canada?
That is.
Yes, that's Canada.
I'm saying, why does it say Toronto ON? not
Ontario.
But they don't play.
We're not going to.
I mean, you
we,
know.
We're not going to.
You know what? That's not it. I thought this was passport pussy, but maybe not.
No. We're I not thought it would do be geography with your ass.
October 5th in Charlotte, North Carolina. October 13th in Seattle, Washington. Don't go back there. And December 14th in Washington, D.C. for all of you Chocolate City lovers.
Shout out to the
Please D.C. check the tickets out at thefriendzonelive.com.
Thefriendzonelive.com. VIP is sold out in some of the cities, but that's where you can catch me along with @LookAtDustin and @HeyFriendHey. And that is all I have to say today. Next week, I will be talking about hoe shit with these whores.
Yes. Oh, well, all right. And guys, this has been yet another episode of Horrible Decisions.
Bye.
Bye.
Later. Yeah, hoe.